This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
You're listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Lynn Mark. Founded in 1989, Nissin Resources has become a leading player in the stainless steel industry, manufacturing products from cookware to convex mirrors to filtration systems. But most recently, they've announced a new business direction into the production of energy coffee. So to give us more insight into this decision, as well as the performance of the existing business in the COVID-19 era, I'm speaking with Lai Kian Huat, Executive Director of Nissin Resources. Lai, thank you so much for joining us today.
Good morning, Lynn. Thank you for inviting me to your show.
It's a pleasure having you. So talk to us a bit about this decision to go into Black Bison. I mean, first of all, it's expected to start generating revenue for Nissin from the first quarter onwards. Are you on track for this? We're already halfway through the first quarter.
Okay, this is our new project, Black Bison. We actually initiated it last year, during the COVID-19 pandemic. During that time, our subsidiaries, managing director, Mr. Ku Chi Kong, who is also the major shareholders of Nissin Resources Berhad, had foreseen on the major change in lifestyle and health awareness among Malaysians in their dietary habits and increasing consumption of non-alcoholic beverage, including coffee. From there on, actually, we started to embark on our first foray into the F&B business on the manufacturing and distribution of health and bioenergy beverage. Okay, to kickstart our new business, we actually has incorporated a new wholly owned subsidiary called Nissin Food and Beverages Sdn Bhd to undertake the F&B business.
So does this indicate it's going to be a broader foray into F&B, not just for this particular energy coffee brand?
Yes, you're right. Our venture into the F&B business will be in the form of wellness product, more particularly in the health beverage segment. We plan to bring convenience and wellness to our customer now that stay safe, stay healthy, and stay at home will be the new life and new norm in life. We expect our new business to take off within the first half of this year, barring any unexpected delay due to restriction imposed by the government.
But when you say take off, what does that mean? When will this Nissin F&B ultimately start turning a profit for the wider company? Because I believe this initially was expected to have a capital expenditure of 6.5 million ringgit, the majority of which to come from a rights issue. So give us a sense of the timeline for profitability then of this venture.
Okay, we actually raised a rights issue on the RCPS. This RCPS is actually to finance actually our new business. Okay, so we are actually at an initial stage at this moment. Okay, so only going forward, we will only be able to actually realize that our profit will only come in maybe somewhere, I think, by next year onwards. That's what we are foreseeing.
So this was interesting for me because Nissin Resources overall is in a net cash position. So why the decision to raise 5.6 million out of the 6.5 million needed from the rights issue in the first place?
Okay, so this is actually a new business for us. We actually need to actually raise money for our new projects. The cash that we actually on hand, we will also try also very much to expand on our current business, which is the cookware and also the convex mirror.
Okay, then ultimately, and we will get into the other segments of Nissin's business in just a bit, but ultimately, how much do you expect this F&B venture to feasibly contribute to the wider group as a percentage of revenue, say, starting next year?
We actually expect to have about 30,000 customer by the end of this year. That's what we are targeting at this moment. Yeah.
And these 30,000 customers, I understand that the Black Bison Energy Coffee Capsule, which is going to be the main product right now, it also requires a proprietary machines. Is that right?
Yes, you are right, Lynn. In fact, we actually have our, this is our OEM manufacturer, which is going to actually supply the machine to us. Yeah. And this machine manufacturer is actually is a reputable company which will supply the machine to us.
But I guess then the question that that raises for me is, this is a very competitive market and there are already deeply entrenched players, whether or not you look at it as the capsule coffee market or the energy product market. So how are you going to compete with the existing players here? For example, who would you say is your main competitor?
Okay, mainly we look at it, our Black Bison coffee that we are going to actually to launch basically is a coffee in a capsule. Basically, there are two main competitors at this moment. Namely, I think is the established one is the Nescafe, the Nespresso.
Okay, which then does kind of raise the question of whether or not you will be able to convert customers to your proprietary machines and brand, because these companies have a massive head start on you in this area. The fact that your capsules require proprietary machines means that it's a much higher barrier to entry for individuals.
Okay, basically our groups has been exploring various opportunities with group potential to actually reduce our reliance on existing business for a diversified income stream. You know, this Black Bison coffee that we actually had, which we actually patented, you know, as you are aware, you know, or maybe you may have seen that, you know, we made the announcement on the 5th of February last week. We actually made an application with the Intellectual Property Corporation of Malaysia for our new invention titled Composition of Boosting Mental Alertness. This is our own formula for our Black Bison Energy Coffee, which provides the benefits of caffeine and ribose in combination. So this is our selling point, you know, for our Black Bison Energy Coffee. And mind you, this is the first Black Bison Energy Coffee in capsule. It is a first in the world.
What kind of research or market trends is this based on? Because you can argue that right now in the market there is an excitement for healthcare and medical products, but there is a difference between something that has a direct medical benefit, for example PPEs, compared with indirect nutritional benefits of something like energy coffee. Might investors be a little bit more skeptical of your decision to go into this particular avenue through Nissin F&B?
Okay, for your information as well, we actually has already engaged Monash University of Malaysia to actually conduct a clinical study on our energy coffee. Of course, this one will take time. You know, the report will be out perhaps, you know, say it could be in 6 months, between 6 months and 1 year, you know. And this is the study report that will substantiate, you know, the effectiveness of our bioenergy coffee, you know, to prove to the world, you know, that the ingredient that we are actually utilizing has the required effectiveness.
That seems a little bit of the wrong way around to me, though, Lai, because what happens if it doesn't confirm what it is that you're basing this business venture off of?
Okay, one of the ingredients that we actually are utilizing is called bioenergy deribose. Okay, this deribose is a patented product from the USA. It's already proven. You know, and this product is actually add-on to our existing coffee.
Is this going to be primarily domestic, or are you also going to be looking at potentially exporting in future?
We are also looking to actually export our product in the near future to other countries as well.
Which other countries do you have in mind?
Okay, the countries that we have in mind is basically Indonesia, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is a big market in Southeast Asia. Yeah, we're also looking at Thailand, Vietnam, and China. We will also be leveraging on our subsidiary company in Italy to help us to penetrate into the European market, right? And besides that, also we also have outlined several marketing strategies to promote our coffee products. One way of it is that we'll be partnering with major organizations that have established network of distribution channels as our brand partners. In fact, a few of our existing cookware customers in Korea and Japan had also conveyed their interest in our coffee business model.
I've been speaking with Lai Kian Huat, Executive Director of Nishin Resources. Up next, a deeper dive into the company's financials. So stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
On the Breakfast Grill this morning is Lai Kian Huat, Executive Director of Nishin Resources. So Lai, the other thing, of course, that Nishin is in is you are also in the PPE business. And I believe the company went into it in about May last year through a deal with Kaylee Holdings. Now, interestingly, 3 months later, Nishin sold a 4.27% stake in Kaylee, even though that deal was until the end of 2022. I understand that this was before your time, but does this indicate that Nishin is perhaps not necessarily going to be continuing in the PPE line?
Yes, you're right, Alin. In May last year, we actually entered into a product manufacturing agreement with this Mariwa Industries in Rambohat, which is a wholly owned subsidiary of this Kaylee Holdings, for the production of fabrics, face masks, PPE, on an OEM basis, right? Even though Nishin has already divested, the Kaylee shares, but nevertheless, the business is still going on between our company and this Kaylee. We are still buying because one of our face masks, we call it the Musketeer brand, is actually OEM by Kaylee for us.
Mm.
During the same month as well, in May last year, our Nishin Marketing Sdn Bhd had also entered into a collaboration agreement and distribution agreement with this WTK Manufacturing Sdn Bhd and WTK Technology Sdn Bhd for the marketing, sale and distribution of fabric protective face masks, PPE, and hand sanitizer for domestic and international market.
Do you foresee PPE being profitable, though, for Nishin? Is Nishin going to be investing more into it in future?
Not at this moment, because now our target is more towards the expansion of our new coffee business. Yeah. And if you look at the market at this moment, even the price for the fabric protective mask or even PPE, the price has been very competitive. Yeah.
I'm just curious as to why so far, whether or not Nishin will be able to stand up to bigger players in the market in terms of the steel industry. I understand this is not directly under your purview, but for example, China has some of the largest steel producers in the world, in Japan and South Korea as well, which both of which are main markets for Nishin Holdings. So what are your chances then of competing on this international stage?
Okay, you see this convex mirror and this cookware, the customer has been with us for so many years already. Some, I think, more than 20 years already, right? So the orders will still be coming in. but may be on a reduced basis, right? Because of the COVID-19, you know, we are not able to do or maybe to expand on our business because the demand is not there, right? And also, I think currently, if you look at the market, I think a lot of the material price has also has gone up, you know. And one of our main raw material for cookware and also convex mirror, which is the stainless steel products, has also gone up quite substantially, you know. Likewise, as you can see, I think it's last month the time, you know, our government has actually imposed on the anti-dumping duty on some of the imported material. Yeah, like from, I think from Indonesia, I think from Vietnam as well, you know. So this actually has actually translated into a higher cost for us, you know. So that's why it's eat up into our margin, I would say, you know. But nevertheless, our convex mirror is, we are able to sell it, you know, because we are one of the so-called biggest convex mirror manufacturer in the world, and we supply most of our convex mirror to the Japan market, you know. And as you know, Japan, they have a very stringent, you know, quality requirement, and we are able to fulfill this requirement. Yeah.
So what is the outlook then that Nissin Resources holds for the anti-dumping duties in place for steel prices, of which are trending upwards as well? This doesn't look good for Nissin Resources on the cost side, particularly since if I take a look at your numbers, you also do charge consistently high administrative costs as well.
Okay, I think going forward, I think in view of the rising costs for many raw material or even components, you know, like we are going actually to talk to our customer, yeah, to possibly maybe to revise, you know, our selling price to them, yeah. Mm. It's no secret, you know, like for example, you know, the raw material price for the stainless steel has risen, you know. This information is actually publicly available, you know, even to our customer, you know. So they actually know the situation, you know, that is happening throughout the world, you know. So hopefully they are able to accept our revised selling price. Yeah. Profit-wise, for the 9 months period ended 30th September 2020, we actually achieved a mere 0.7 million in profit before tax, yeah, as compared to a loss before tax of 6.8 million in 2019, which is as a result, as I mentioned just now, of a higher contribution recorded in other income arising from the gain on disposal and fair value of quoted security held by our group.
But that 700,000 is also a pretty thin margin to be speaking of. Do you anticipate that you will round out the full year also in the black, considering that you were loss-making last year?
Okay, that's a very good question. But as for the coming quarterly result for the 3 months period ended, you know, 31st of December 2020, I'm not able to provide any details until it is officially announced. Yeah, by the end of this month.
Right, okay. Are you confident that you'll be able to return to the black in a reasonably near time frame then, particularly since you are taking on this new business venture as well, which will likely weigh a little bit on your books until it starts to turn a profit in the next 2 years, in the next year or so?
Well, I think, Lynn, let's wait for the announcement, you know, somewhere within this month, we will announce it to the public. Yeah.
Right. And of course, the other question that I'm sure investors in Nishin Resources will be interested in would be, current Nishin does not have any kind of a formal dividend policy in place. Are there any plans for that to be done in future, particularly since I believe Nishin is a reasonably is in a net cash position, if I'm not mistaken?
Okay, Lin, I think if I recall back, if I'm not wrong, I think a few years back, Nishin did actually reward their shareholders, but not in the form of cash payment dividend. It was in the form of shares, you know. If I'm not mistaken, that time, Nishin has actually bought back a lot of their own shares, you know. So in a way, Nishin had utilized, you know, the share buyback, you know, to reward back to the shareholders. I think that one, if I'm not mistaken, that one is, I think, about a few years back.
So yeah. Any other plans for further share buybacks?
Yeah, yeah. So I think on and off also, we are doing some share buyback. Perhaps, you know, later when we have accumulated sufficient shares, we may actually, like what we have done previously, we may actually reward back, you know, the shareholders in a form of shares that we have actually bought back.
All right. Well, thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Lai. It's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Yeah, thank you.
I've been speaking with Lai Kian Huat, Executive Director of Nishin Resources. This has been The Breakfast Grill. I'm Lin Mark, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.